The test is in four parts, part 1, part 2, part 3, and part 4. Now look at part 1.
Part 1.
Customer phoning a company representative to complain about her new purchase. First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 5. Now we shall begin. You should answer the questions as you listen, because you will not hear the recording a second time. Listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 5.
Hello, is this the Dynamo Motorcycle Company?
Yes, it is. How can I help you?
Well, I have an instruction manual here for your new electric motorcycle, but I'm not satisfied with the purchase at all.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. But don't worry, I'm sure we can sort this out. Before we do anything, can you tell me the model number?
At the top of the instruction manual here, it gives the model number RTY34.
TY34. Okay. Now, what's the nature of your complaint?
It's many things, actually. The biggest problem is that you say in your manual that the battery will take the motorcycle 30 kilometres.
That's right.
Well, it's lucky to take me 8. The battery is usually flat by then, often leaving me stuck at the side of the road.
Are you sure you're charging it correctly?
I'm fairly sure. I follow all the instructions and plug it in for a long time.
And are you sure you charge it for the required 3 hours?
I charge it until the charging light goes off, and that's 2 hours, so that should be enough. And there's a serious design fault with this motorcycle. When you're riding it, there's no meter to show you how much power is left, so you actually don't know when the machine is going to stop working.
There's a voltage gauge.
Yes, but that tells you nothing. The needle fluctuates about from 55 to 45, so whatever it says is meaningless.
According to the manual, you're meant to charge the battery if the needle falls under 50 volts.
But even when you charge it, it can go below 45. As I said, the needle just waves all over the place. The result is that I'm always worried that the bike will leave me stranded in the middle of nowhere.
Well, I'm sorry about that.
Sure, but what are you going to do about it?
Unfortunately, we don't have a refund policy. But if you take the bike to one of our shops, our mechanics will look at it. Perhaps there's a problem that we can fix. The gauge, for example.
The other problem is the battery. I actually weighed it, and it's almost 6 kilograms. Yet you say in your manual that it weighs only 3. I can barely pick the thing up, so it's not 3 kilograms at all.
Maybe you purchased the wrong model by mistake.
I doubt that very much. Basically, I think I've been defrauded, and I'd like to know what you're going to do about it.
All right, I'll put you through to our complaints department.
Before you hear the rest of the conversation, you have some time to look at questions 6 to 10. Now listen and answer questions 6 to 10.
Hello?
Complaints department here. Apparently you have a complaint?
Yes, I do. Let me tell you all about...
It's all right. Our representative has already informed me about your problem. It's probably just a misunderstanding. I'm sure we can work something out. Right now, I need to take down some details.
All right.
Can I have your name, please?
Jesse Parkinson. That's J-E-S-S-I-E and Parkinson, P-A-R-K-I-N-S-O-N, Parkinson.
All right. What shall we list this complaint under? Parts, service or performance?
Well, the meter isn't accurate at all, so that's parts, isn't it?
Yes, perhaps, but you do feel more generally that the motorcycle doesn't meet the operational standards as advertised. So it's probably better to tick performance here.
Can we tick both, parts and performance?
No, we can only tick one, so let's not call it parts. We'll go with performance. Now, we may post some further forms and questionnaires to you, so would you mind giving me your address?
Certainly. It's 45 Melrose Road.
Melrose. M-E-L and Rose. OK. Now, your phone number?
Just use my mobile phone. That's 09 28 982 453.
453. OK. And if we have any follow-up questions, what time is best for ringing you? Morning? Afternoon? Night time?
Well, I work as a secretary from 9 to 5, but I do get a lunch break, which gives me some free time. This break used to be 12:30 to 1:30, but then it changed to an hour later, so it's best to ring me at 2 p.m., since the break now starts at 1:30.
All right. That's all for now. We just need to do our own investigation, and we'll probably ring you back tomorrow. I'm sure we can get to the bottom of this.
That is the end of part one.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part two.
Part two.
You'll hear a message left to John on how to look after the house.
First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 17. Now, listen carefully and answer questions 11 to 17.
Hello, John. Welcome to the house. I'm really pleased that you can be here to look after my house while I'm away. Here are some things you need to know about the house. Important stuff like when the garbage is collected. In fact, let's start with the garbage, which is collected on Friday. Just write garbage on the calendar on the days they take it away. Put it out on Friday every week. That'll be Friday the 22nd, Friday the 29th, and Friday the 5th. It's a really good service. The trucks are quiet and the service is efficient. The bin would be put outside of the house empty. It's a good idea to put it away quickly. This street can be quite windy. I once watched my next-door neighbour chase her bin the whole length of the street. Every time she nearly caught up with it, it got away again. The waste paper will be collected this Tuesday. That's Tuesday the 19th. There's a plastic box full of paper in the front room. Please put it out on Tuesday. The truck will come during the day. If you don't mind collecting old newspapers and other paper and putting them in the box, I'll put it out when I come home. The paper people only come monthly. I have some things to give to charity in a box in the front room. Would you put it out on Monday the 25th, please? It's a box of old clothes and some bed linen which I've collected, plus a few other bits and pieces. The charity truck will come by during the day on the last Monday of the month. Like the paper people, it comes monthly. If you want to use the library, you'll find it on Darling Street. I've left my borrower's card near the telephone. It has a very good local reference section if you want to find out more about this city. The library is open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m, Monday to Saturday. I'm sorry to say that we don't have a cleaner. Oh, yes, filters. Would you please change the filters on the washing machine on the last week of the month, no matter which day? We find that the machine works much better if we change the filters regularly. The gas company reads the meter on the 30th, the last Saturday. I think that's all the information about our calendar of events.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 18 to 20. Now listen and answer questions 18 to 20.
Well, John, I'm trying to think what else I should be telling you. As you know, I'm going to a conference in London. I hope to have a little time to look around. It's a great city. I do hope I manage to get at least some of the theatres and museums. I'm looking forward to all the things I have to do at the conference, too. I'm giving a paper on Tuesday the 26th, and there are a couple of exciting events planned later in the conference programme. I hope to meet up with an old teacher of mine at the conference. She taught English literature at my high school, and we've kept in touch through letters over the years. She now teaches at the University of Durham, and I'm really looking forward to seeing her again. By the way, I expect you're hungry after your trip. I've left a meal in the refrigerator for you. I hope you like cheese and onion pie. Would you do me a favour, please? I haven't had time to cancel an appointment. It was made a long time ago, and I forgot about it until this morning. It's with my dentist for a checkup on Thursday the 28th. Could you please call the dentist on 8162525 and cancel the appointment for me? Thanks a lot, John. One last thing. When you leave the house, make sure the windows and doors are shut and set the burglar alarm. The alarm code number is 9120. Have fun. I'll see you when I get back. This is your friend Martha, saying goodbye.
That is the end of part two.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now turns to part three.
Part three.
You will hear a tutor and some students talking about an assignment. Listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 26.
Come in. Sit down. Good to see you.
Hello.
Hello. Now, this assignment. The best thing we can do, I think, is to think how we can approach it. The main point is to investigate television, but not what's happened in the past.
I was thinking that it would be necessary to go over the new media first and then...
Yes, that's a way to make a start, but you need to do that quite briefly.
But it's quite a complex topic.
Yeah, I agree, but the emphasis must be on the future development of television as a cultural phenomenon.
Yes. I've been reading the talk by Ashley Highfield.
All right, and what do you take from that? What are the things that are competing with television?
Well, to start with, there is the games console. Then there is the personal computer and the internet. Then again, the mobile phone with its capability of games and puzzles. Mm. And, of course, internet access. Lastly, there is the iPod, with the possibility of listening to music wherever you go.
Good. You've understood that. Now, which of these presents the greatest competition for television?
Well, according to the research, it's video games.
Yes, that's true at present. But in the future...
I think the phone will present the greatest threat then.
And why? Because it's mobile, portable, and it's developing fast. Yeah, I think you're right. You need always to look to the future and try to assess how things will develop, as we said. Good. Now, you need to move on to the new social trends in connection with television.
Is one of them the idea that programmes might become shorter and shorter?
Ah, yes. The average programme might be 10 minutes.
Or even less. Just mini-programmes, say 4 to 5 minutes long. Now, do you think you can get access to all the materials you need?
The problem at the moment is the library.
Oh, yes. What's happening there?
There's a tremendous amount of noise because of the new extension they are building. It's quite impossible to work there.
They are stopping work for a week next week, I believe, and then all the sections will be open. There's a hold-up because some roof tiles have not arrived, so there'll be peace for that week.
But then after that, the media studies section will be closed for a week, and all the noise and dirt will start up again.
Yes, the sociology section will be open, and there's some good stuff there for you on this topic, and it's further away from the noise.
Yes, I don't think the sociology section is affected at all, and neither is the journal section.
No. Obviously, they're rotating the closures, and it was sociology's turn to close for a week last term.
I think we should make a complaint.
Yeah, I think you should.
I've had a word with the library staff. They are very sympathetic, but...
Well, they are affected by these works, just as we are.
If I were you, I'd make a complaint directly to the premises committee. They only meet once a year, but in fact, I know they're having a meeting next Tuesday. You might like to make contact with them, but don't say that I suggested this.
Yes. The students' union might be better, since they are independent of the university.
That's true, but I can't imagine that people haven't already approached them about this. Mm. Let's try the premises committee.
Good idea. Why not?
Okay.
Now, don't forget I need a copy of your dissertations by email and 2 copies in print, that is, on paper. If you give the reprographics office 24 hours notice, they'll make copies for you. And if you give them my details, they'll send those copies directly to me. They won't send copies to you, so you'll need to take your own copy personally from them. Good. Any questions?
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 27 to 30.
Now answer questions 27 to 30.
One little thing was just that I wondered whether we should actually talk about that famous website. You know the one, YouTube.
Ah, I was rather hoping you hadn't overlooked that. Good point. It's mostly homemade videos. I suppose you could say that each video is a television version of a podcast. Anything else?
Yes, I've got a question, I'm afraid. I'm not completely clear about the exact meaning of culture, as we are using it in this subject.
Well, Mrs. Jones is giving a lecture on culture and society in the University Theatre. It's on Wednesday at 10 a.m, and you can learn all about it there, I'm sure.
Can you give us that again, please?
Yes, that's culture and society. It's in the University Theatre. And let me just check the time. Yes, here it is. 10 a.m. on Wednesday. She'll be giving a very thorough discussion of the issues in defining what culture means.
Right. That's good. The thing is, the reading list confused me a bit. One thing that occurred to me was that it might be broken down into subsections for future students.
Yes, that's a fair point. I'll bear that in mind. Now, don't forget, you need to do the reading and finish the assignment by the 4th of July. Is that okay?
Fine. Thank you very much.
That is the end of part 3.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now turns to part 4.
Part 4.
9. Listen to the second part of our lecture. As you listen, complete the notes below.
First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now, listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40.
Riverdance is not just an expression of self-confidence, a kind of culturally interesting pop song. It tells the story of a people through song and dance. It tells the story of the people whose spirit was broken by an event which occurred in the middle of the last century, but continued to affect the society until 1961, the Great Famine. What is a famine? In 1840, the official population of Ireland was 8 million. They were largely poor and living in the countryside. They were beginning to have an interest in independence, and perhaps had things been different, Ireland might have been independent much earlier. But there was a serious problem in the agricultural system. All crops were grown to pay the rent of the land, and all that was grown to eat was the potato. This was fine until the potato crop failed, as it did from 1845 to 1848. The stories of what happened in those times live on in the popular culture of Ireland, and I won't tell them here, but the result was that 2 million people died or left the country by 1851. When you realise that the population continued to go down until 1961, you can realise what a disastrous effect this famine had on the people. Compared with China, imagine if the famine of 1960 reduced the population by a quarter and it kept falling to less than half of its pre-famine figure. Anybody with ideas left and went to England, America, or Australia. The people left behind were broken by their experiences and, in effect, the famine and its consequences put an end to all serious development in the country until well into this century. The Irish in Ireland lost all hope and self-confidence, and much of our modern culture is about the sadness of that time and the sorrow of saying goodbye to those who left and left well into this century. Ireland has the highest emigration rate of any country in Europe for the last 2 centuries. We even have an expression for this saying goodbye. It is called the American wake. It means the ceremony, like that of a funeral for someone going to America, because you will never see him or her again. Do you know why there is Irish music on the film Titanic? It is because most of the people killed were Irish. The leaving continued until the 1970s, because independence in 1921 was followed by a civil war and an economic depression. Almost every family in Ireland has relatives abroad, and up to the 60s in some places, of a class of 30 graduating from high school all left. Along the west coast, closed up houses, from that time falling into ruin, are still common.
That is the end of part 4.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.